Friends, the Old Testament reading this morning is Psalm 23. It is to be found on page 555 of the Pew Bible. The heading reminds us that this has always been identified as very much one of the Psalms of David himself. And that in turn reminds us that when we first encounter David in the Old Testament, it is as a young shepherd committed to the protection of his sheep, even in circumstances of danger to his life. And so the psalm reads as follows. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
We read again, friends, in the Gospel according to John. John chapter 21 at verse 15. John 21 at verse 15, and you'll find this on page 109. Zero in the Pew Bible. Jesus has appeared to his disciples on the shore of Lake Tiberias and has provided a breakfast for them. At one point, he addresses himself entirely to Peter. And this is an account of that particular encounter. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. And God will bless to us the reading of his word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Now let us pray. God, our Father, we give thanks that you have given us a song to sing throughout the whole of creation, which speaks of renewal and the possibility of change. And we pray that now as we approach your word, that you would give us deeper insight into that message, that our confidence in it would increase, but more especially that our love for the one at the centre of the message would increase, so that we are closer to him in our aspiration to serve. And we pray this in his name. Amen. Friends, when something like the atrocity in Manchester occurs, people like me feel the pressure to say something about it. You realise that it would be wrong to pass it by in any way, and that people who gather for worship on the Lord's Day would be disappointed if it was not mentioned. But I came to the realisation some time ago that far better than having to say something is having something to say. Having something to say, even in the midst of the worst of times. You know, the psalmist says, our God is with us, and he is not silent. Now that means he's with us in every circumstance, and that there is a message that he wishes the whole of creation to hear. Now, I'm not naive enough to believe that everyone finds a Christian message helpful in circumstances like this. But we are the people of God in this generation, in this place. And surely it is our great joy, in a sense, to seek his voice, even in the most difficult of circumstances, and to have the confidence to share the truths that come to us from God's word. We have something to say, even in times like this, something to say that will help people to go forward into the future with a sense of hope in their hearts. You know, one of the things that's been weighing very heavily with me in the past few days, ever since this dreadful thing happened in Manchester, one of the things that's been weighing with me very heavily is that at the heart of all the mayhem and the suffering that was caused, at the heart of all this, there is a message. A message that an intelligent young man embraced, which he believed gave him a handle on life, which revealed a purpose to him, which he felt moved to put into action, even at the point where he was willing to sacrifice his own life as well as the lives of other people. All of that began when he heard a message. I switched on the radio the other day and they were still talking about it, of course, and I don't know who the man was, but he was part of a discussion group, and he was expressing his anguish that when there are so many good things for people to relate to in this life, and when there are so many positive messages that can bring light and love, there are people who choose to walk this way, who choose the path of wickedness. But these messages are out there, friends, among many other messages that perhaps are not quite as destructive. Obviously. But many other messages that are destructive to the faith that we adhere to. All these messages are out there, and so the important thing for us in this moment is to renew our confidence in the gospel that has come down to us. It is for us to focus our minds entirely upon Jesus and the work that he came to do. The death upon the cross that has enabled forgiveness and renewal. And the resurrection in which God points to him as the destiny that he wants us to fulfill. Here is a human being renewed in body, mind and spirit. This is where I want to take you. That is God's message to the world today. And that a sense of that renewal can exist in the world today as we go forward to that time when God's kingdom will come and we will be a renewed people in a new creation. Now that is the hope that we are called to share. It was the hope that the Apostle Peter was called to share with the world 2,000 years ago. And in the reading that we shared earlier in the service, what we see is Peter being prepared for that task. We see Peter on the verge of stepping out into the world with this message that is going to transform the whole of human history. And he is being called to be in the vanguard of this new movement. Peter the rock. Peter the leader. Who will step out with others to show the hope that Jesus has brought to the whole of humankind. But before he does that, Peter is asked a question by Jesus repeatedly. Peter, do you love me? And it's repeated time and time again. And some people have said, well, this is Jesus giving Peter an opportunity to wipe out those three denials. When he was put on the spot about his allegiance to Jesus, Peter denied that he even knew him. And this is his opportunity to wipe all of that out from his inner being. And that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. But I think far more importantly for Peter at this moment is Jesus establishing a priority in Peter's life. Because his mission into the world at large is only going to be sustained if he is preaching, if he is working from his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. It is only from that that he will be qualified to call others to worship the Lord Jesus. And that is the confidence that we have to have, friends, in the face of all human tragedy. The confidence that while the worst can happen in our experience, this is not God's destiny for us. What he is seeking to do through his son Jesus is to renew humanity, to redeem humanity, to save humanity. And that begins with the individual response from us to the only one who can make this possible. If we are seeking to bring hope to the world, then that has to begin with our own love, our own commitment to the Lord Jesus. The one who died so that our sins might be forgiven. The one who rose again to show where God wants to lead the whole of humanity. The one whose rule will in the end be seen upon this earth. It's our mission to promote Him. It's our mission to let His voice be heard in the midst of all the other messages that are clamoring for people's attention at this time. But it begins when we are able to say to our Lord, "Of course, Lord, I love you." That's where it all begins. You know, Martin Luther King, when he was a young man, he used to listen to his father, who was a minister, and sometimes he got a bit embarrassed about his dad, as minister's sons sometimes do. Because it was very highly emotional. And it was always emphasizing individual conversion experiences. And he decided he was going to go another path. And even in the early days of the civil rights movement, he was constantly focusing on changing structures that would lead to a change in society. But it was interesting that towards the end of his ministry, when he became aware of just the depth of the sickness of his own society and of those societies in other parts of the world, he began to preach like his father. Because what was needed was a shift in individual people that couldn't be brought about just by political or social change. And friends, I believe that that conviction needs to grow within us. That we need to make our Savior known in our community, in our nation, in the world. Because it's only when people turn to Him wholeheartedly that we will see change. And you know, it was with that in mind, I believe, that Jesus issued this command to Peter. "Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs." In other words, if this is going to happen, if love for the Lord Jesus Christ is going to grow, if the temperature of Christian love is going to increase in the world, then there needs to be a strong church. Peter, you'll need to keep feeding the sheep. Now, I've shared with you that this Easter, one of the great convictions in my heart was the way that in which the risen Lord, after He came out of the tomb, His priority was to go and to speak to individuals. Even those who had let Him down. And that's a powerful thing for us to hold in our mind. But always remember, folks, please, that those individuals were not detached from a community. Every one of those that the Lord drew near to was part of a community, part of this great movement of people that was going to connect with God's surge towards the day when His kingdom would come. Every image that you will come across in the scripture emphasizes this aspect of Christian living. It emphasizes the solidarity of God's people. It emphasizes the dynamism of this community. Think about it. The body of Christ, the army of God, the family of God, the temple, different stones brought together to be a witness to the eternal Father. It's all about a people who are together, worshipping together, and working together to bring the kingdom of God into the experience of men and women. You know, I had a colleague, well, he's still a colleague, I suppose he's retired now, but You know, he had an aversion to some of the hymns that we sing, you know, that emphasize our individuality, as he said. You know, hymns like, "Just as I am thine own to be." Hymns like, "Jesus, Master, whose I am. You know, whenever the individual experience is emphasized over the community. Now, I think he pushed the point just a bit too far. But it is a point. We're not just individuals with our own private experience. We belong to a body. We belong to an army. We belong to a family. We're part of a temple. Read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. Have a look at that and count how many times the word "together" is mentioned. The people of God together, worshipping together, eating together, together, one in mind and in heart in relation to the gospel. And it was as a people together that these very early Christian people made an impact on their society. And you know, I have to say, friends, that it's that vision of a dynamic community making a difference that kept me in the church at one particular period in my life. Never had any doubts about Jesus. I did have doubts about the church. But then when I went to Scripture and saw the vision of our Lord Jesus Christ for his people, I came to believe that this could happen. Not an institution, not a social club, but a dynamic movement of God's people bringing to bear upon the issues of the day an influence that is not coming from any other source. You know, it was the way my university friends used to look at me when I told them what I was going to be doing with my life. You know, it was that kind of poor soul look, you know. What is he thinking? That's the way the church is perceived. In a negative way. It's not the church that was envisioned by our Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. The church that is being caught up in the surge of God towards the new heaven and the new earth. The church that you can see, that you can see forecast in the teaching of the psalmist when he talks about the people of God passing through desert places and making them a place of springs, freshness, renewal. That's what captivated me. And that's what the world needs at the moment, friends. It needs a strong church. Focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Open to his truth. Preserved for us in his word. To bring that freshness, that renewal to bear upon all the deadness and all the darkness that we experience. And as the hymn says, we have Christ's own promise about this. And that cannot fail. But it's not just believing in this that's enough, friends, because while Peter was asked the question about his love and while he was issued with this command to keep the church strong, Jesus was in no doubt that for Peter this demanded sacrifice. It demanded sacrifice from him. Not long after I came here to St. Paul's, maybe 18 months or so, I was in the Scripture Union bookshop in Canal Street, it's now away now, and I spotted a well-known character on the church scene in Glasgow. He was wandering around the bookshop. Now, I knew this fellow to be someone who was a bit intrusive, shall we say, in people's lives. He always liked to buttonhole people about their faith in a very ungracious way that folk didn't really appreciate. So I see him wandering around the bookshop, and I'm hiding behind some of the book stands and stuff like that, but eventually got me. And he starts to quiz me about my faith. I wasn't dressed like this, you understand. I was in jeans and t-shirt or whatever. Starts to quiz me about my faith, and at one point he says, "Now, where do you worship?" And I said, "Well, St. Paul's, Mulgai." He said, "Oh, I doubt you'll be getting much there," he said. "Who's the minister?" I said, "Well, I'm the minister, you know," and that kind of... This guy was not known for being stuck for words. But it's that question that I'm bringing to you this morning. He said, "I doubt you'll be getting much there." Whatever that meant. But isn't that the way we look at it sometimes, you know? When you're late, did you get much from that? What can I get from this? I'm not getting anything. Scripture is saying to me that it's important to get, to receive fellowship, to receive teaching. But we get in order that we might give. Excuse me a moment. Drop my glasses. We get so that we can give. What did Jesus say to Peter? "I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Now, what was happening here was that Peter was being called to deny his own will. Peter was being called to go where he didn't want to go. And he wasn't particularly happy about it. Because he's walking along with Jesus and he becomes aware of the Apostle John walking behind him. And he turns and points to him and says, "Well, what about him? Is he being asked to sacrifice like this?" And Jesus' response is a bit nippy actually. But it's quite clear. Never mind him. It's what falls to you that's important. Let's focus on what is going to be demanded of Peter. And how important it's going to be for Peter to be faithful through everything that comes to him. So he made quite clear to him that what's lying ahead of him are circumstances that are going to be demanding. But what Peter gives in the end will glorify God. His sacrifice will bring life and peace to other people. Now, I don't suppose, friends, as we stand at a moment of change for ourselves in our own congregation, and as the folk at Balderknock stand on the verge of change. I don't suppose this is where either of the two congregations want to go. But in the circumstances that we face today in the church, this is what falls to us. This is what we must focus upon. And this is what we have to work at. In order to bring glory, not to ourselves, but to the Lord Jesus Christ. The issue is whether his gospel will continue to be proclaimed in these two separate places. And that might seem like a very small thing when we are considering the weight of the tragedy that has fallen upon so many lives in the week that has just passed. But you see, it is from this personal level that things are going to change. When people face the personal challenges and are convinced within themselves that in this challenge God's presence goes with them and an opportunity is being presented to them to shine the light of God's Holy Spirit through it all. What we are finding in this passage is a challenge to every single human being that would own the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to love him as a priority, to be committed to the mission that he has left the church, and to be prepared to leave self behind in order to glorify the name of his Son. Let's pray. God, our Father, we ask that in the power of your Spirit, you would come to us to strengthen us at this time, to give each of us that assurance of your presence, that we may go forward as a people, knowing that you go with us, that your truth is the answer to all life's tragedies, and that we can be confident that in everything that we experience and in everything that we are called to do, that we are a people that you have called to be your own and to share the truth that only you possess. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.